And now in the book of the Revelation and chapter 1. In our continuing series of messages in the book of the Revelation, we bring forth to you tonight the reaction and response of John, the beloved apostle, to the vision that he had of the majestic glory of the Son of God. You remember now that John is on the Isle of Patmos, just off the coast of Asia, because of his testimony of the Word of God and his preaching of the gospel of redeeming grace. By Domitian, the Caesar at Rome, John had been expelled and exiled to this lonely spot. And there on the Isle of Patmos, in the Aegean Sea, John receives what we know as the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Greek, the apokalypsis, or the manifestation, the appearing, the glorious transformation of what John saw on the Isle of Patmos, equal to the glory of the living God. I want you to look tonight in verse 16 and 17 and 18. And remember that John says in his right hand, speaking of authority, there were seven stars, that is, the seven messengers of the seven churches of Asia Minor. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And in verse 17 is John's reaction to the majestic glory, the consuming glory of the judge and the potentate of heaven and earth. And verse 17 says, "And when I saw him, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. So let it be. And have the keys of hell and of death." John, the beloved apostle, had grown up to know the Lord Jesus Christ. It is John who is considered the most intimate in his friendship and in his relationship to Jesus. Of the three of the inner circle, Peter, James, and John, it is John who refers to himself five times in the gospel that bears his name as that disciple whom Jesus loved. It was John who laid his head upon the breast of Jesus as they shared together the last meal on earth. It was to John that Jesus said from the cross, "Son, behold thy mother," speaking about his own mother Mary, who from that day went home with John to be his mother. John pastored the church at Ephesus for a quarter of a century, faithfully testifying of the Word of God and the redeeming graces of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And now for that testimony, he is on the Isle of Patmos, and before his eyes is unveiled, manifest, revealed, the wonderful and majestic glory of Jesus Christ. John had seen him hanging on the cross. John had seen him around the Sea of Galilee. John had seen him in the Garden of Gethsemane. John had seen him at the garden tomb, when he was raised from the dead. But never before had John seen the full orbed glory of the Son of God. No wonder John says, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." It was altogether too much for the mortal man John to behold the infinite and immortal glory of the Son of God. And he was as a dead man at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus laid his right hand upon him. In all of his being immortalized and glorified and raised higher than all other beings, he's not changed in his heart. He's the same Jesus that took the little babies on his lap and blessed them. He's the same Jesus that touched the eyes of the blind and opened them. He's the same Jesus that touched the deaf ear and made it to hear again. He's the same Jesus that loosed the deaf tongue and the same Jesus that caused the dead to live again. His heart has not changed. His love has not changed. His compassion has not changed. And I declare unto you tonight, almost 2,000 years later, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And by the Holy Spirit, he now lays his right hand upon you. And if you are afflicted in body, I believe he can heal you. Somebody said, "You don't believe in divine healing, do you?" You bet I believe in divine healing. All the healing there's ever been has been divine. You'd read the little note that came to me from Jenny Mulder Chandler this week that said, "Dear Pastor, we are so grateful for answered prayer. For I know that I'm alive today because God answered the prayers of your church." Yes, I believe in divine healing. I don't believe in this kind that men are parading up and down the country and making a show of and getting paid for, but I believe in divine healing. For the right hand of the Son of God is on us tonight, and he'll heal that sin-sick soul, mister. And he'll give you a new life, and he'll give you a new heart, and he'll give you a new outlook on life if you'll just heed his call as he lays his hand upon your shoulder. John is prostrate at the feet of Jesus as a dead man. But when Jesus lays his hand upon him, up he comes, out as it were of the regions of darkness and death. John is restored again. And Jesus will do the same for you. And to John, Jesus said, the characteristic words that came out of this song a while ago, "Fear not." To Abraham on the plains of Mamre, in the long ago, God said, "Fear not, for I am thy exceeding and great reward." To the angels that watched, to the shepherds that watched the fields of Judea, near Bethlehem's manger yonder in the land of Israel, there was that characteristic message when they stood in awe before the brightness of those angels. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Did you get that? To all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. To those bothered, disturbed, fearful, anxious disciples on the Sea of Galilee, when Jesus came walking on the water, and they were fearful and afraid, Jesus said to them, "Fear not, it is I." Jesus said to John on the Isle of Patmos, "Fear not." And then Jesus gives three reasons why John ought not to be afraid. And I want to share those with you and tell you but that for these three same reasons, you ought not to be afraid tonight. Look at it again. Jesus said, "I am the first and the last. Before God, there was nothing. Without God, there is nothing." Jesus said, "I am the first. In the beginning, God created. In the beginning was the Word." Here is the pre-existent glory of Christ. I am the first. and I am the last. Beloved, nothing is going unseen by God's omniscient eye tonight. The world is not marching and the nations of earth to their destiny without God marking every move that every nation makes. For he is the last, and he shall consummate all things. He's the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. You don't have to be afraid tonight, because Jesus the first is with you. And Jesus the last is with you. And blessed be his wonderful name. He's everything between. From A to Z and all included therein. I am the first and the last. Then the second reason that John need not fear. In the words of Jesus, he said, I am he that liveth. There is no life without Christ. In him we live and move and have our being. He is life. He said of himself, I am the resurrection and the life. There is no life apart from him. All other life gets its source from him. I am he that liveth and was dead. Did you notice that? Was dead. That doesn't put Christ on a crucifix. That doesn't put Christ in a tomb. I am he that was dead in the past tense. And I remind you that while the choir sang tonight about his wonderful birth, it was not through his birth, but through his death that he redeemed us on the cross and washed us white as snow in his own blood. I am he that was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Beloved, Jesus Christ is our contemporary. He is just as much with us tonight as he was with the disciples along the shore of Galilee, or trudging through the streets of Jerusalem, or making his way down the Jericho road. You say, how can it be? Because God has manifest himself in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And in the Holy Spirit, Christ is with us right now. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And the third reason that John need not fear, and that you and I need not fear, in the words of Jesus, I have the keys of hell and death. I have the authority. Nobody dies without the authority of Christ, just like nobody lives without him. He controls death. He controls life. He controls time. He controls eternity. He controls this earth that goes about on its axis and revolves about the sun and all of the stars and the moons and the planets. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. I could not die. It matters not what kind of fever or how I would be crushed or whether I be in war or peace. Or wherever I might be, I could not die until Jesus is ready for me to die. I have the keys of death and Hades, hell, the place of the departed. This speaks of his exalted glory and lordship. For he is Lord of earth and Lord of heaven. And believe it or not, he's Lord of hell. Did you know there are not going to be any unbelievers in hell? Don't misunderstand that statement. There will not be any unbelievers in hell. All Christ rejecters and unbelievers are going to hell, but they're not going to be in hell very long until they start believing. That's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. For in the Word of God, Philippians chapter 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a slave, and was found in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Get it now? Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Listen, every knee should bow, and every tongue shall confess. But Paul gives us a geographical, worldwide, universal, heaven, earth, and below earth dimension. Every knee in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth shall bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Christ to the Lord of, to the glory of God. Jesus is Christ. All heaven proclaims it. All the earth shall proclaim it. And all hell shall proclaim it. He is Lord of past, present, and future. All of the unknown worlds, whatever they might be, wherever they might be, Jesus Christ is Lord of all. I am the first and the last. I am he that was, that lives, that was dead, and that forever shall live. And I have the authority, the power, the key of hell and of death. Jesus locks up all of those unbelievers in hell and they can't get out. He's got the key. And he locks up all believers in heaven and they can't get out because he's got the key. Fear not. The Lordship of Jesus. The story is told of Julian, who is called Julian the Apostate, who was a nephew of Constantine, the Roman Emperor. He was raised, Julian was, in a Christian family. But he renounced his Christian faith and embraced paganism. And in the year 361 AD, he was made emperor of the Roman Empire. He did everything in his power to blot out Christianity, to blight the name of Christ, and said that glory and majesty and dominion and power belonged only to him who was the conqueror of all men. 2 years later, two short years later, in the year 363 AD, Julian was mortally wounded on the battlefield fighting the Persians. And his last and final words were these: O Galilean, thou art the conqueror of all men. I am the first and the last, said Jesus. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell in my hand. That's my Savior that this choir has sung about tonight. I present him to you. I wish I knew how to tell you that he loves you more than 10 billion worlds could ever proclaim. This is the Son of God. Is he your Savior? Why, he can be. As simple as A, B, C. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. C, confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believing in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. And let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, tonight, our hearts are filled with joy and thanksgiving for all of the good things that thou hast given us. How our hearts have been thrilled tonight as we've heard afresh and anew through the words of this cantata and this musical offering that Christ is born and the world is made so much better. Joy to all the nations of earth because Christ has come. Dear God, if there be one man or woman, young person, boy or girl, into whose heart Jesus has not come, may they open the door of their heart right now and simply pray this prayer. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart. Lord Jesus, Dear God, I pray that that would be the prayer of any sinner man here tonight. Whatever the needs are for those who are seeking a church home, for those who are seeking a closer walk with Thee, may they find it in answer to this appeal. And may we all go away singing the praises of our great King, joy to the world. In His name we ask it and for His sake. And while your heads are bowed, and while the choir offers an invitation appeal, who'll be first to come to Jesus? If you're out there tonight and you've never trusted Him as your Savior, come. We'll meet you here at the front. You don't have to sign anything, pledge anything, give anything, or do anything, save accept Christ in your heart. Or if you're here tonight and you'd like to become a member of this church by letter or by baptism, if you're here tonight and you'd like to just come for a prayer, the prayer of thanksgiving that is in your heart, and you would like to exclaim to all the world that there is joy in your life because Christ has come, why don't you slip down the aisle and around this altar that stretches from here to eternity? Come on right now while the choir sings. Who'll be first to come?